ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
We are reading from third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Text number 13.
Yajna Shishtashina Santo मुच्यन्ते सर्वकिल्बिषैः भुञ्जते ते त्वघं पापा ये पचन्त्यात्मकारणात्।
ट्रांसलेशन गोज लाइक दिस, ट्रांसलेशन बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. Small purport, so I'll read the purport also. The devotees of the Supreme Lord are the persons who are in Krishna consciousness are called santas. And they are always in love with the Lord, as it is described in the Brahma Samhita. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena Santas Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti. The Santas, being always in a compact of love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, the giver of all pleasures, or Mukunda, the giver of liberation, or Krishna, the all-attractive person, cannot accept anything without first offering it to the Supreme Person. Therefore, such devotees always perform yajnas in different modes of devotional service, such as shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, archanam, etc. And these performances of yajnas keep them always aloof from all kinds of contamination of sinful association in the material world. Others who prepare food for self or sense gratification are not only thieves but also the eaters of all kinds of sins. How can a person be happy if he is both a thief and sinful? It is not possible. Therefore, in order for people to become happy in all respects, they must be taught to perform the easy process of Sankirtan Yajna in full Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, there can be no peace or happiness in the world.
ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्यानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदां सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। नमो महावदंजाय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। आराध्य भगवान् ब्रजेश तनयस्तद्धाम वृंदावनम रम्या काचिदुपासना ब्रजवधू वर्गेण वा कल्पिता श्रीमद्भागवतं प्रमाणममलं प्रेम पुमर्तो महान् श्रीचैतन्य महाप्रभोर्मतमिदं तत्रादराना परः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम राम।
हरे कृष्णा। हमने फिर प्रेजेंट फॉर द लास्ट क्लास यज्ञ यज्ञार्थात कर्मणां यत्र लोकोऽयं कर्मबन्धनः। हमने फिर प्रेजेंट फॉर द लास्ट, वी हैव 4 मिनट्स टू रिवाइज लास्ट वीक्स क्लास, मे बी 2-3 पॉइंट्स। सो वी रिमेंबर एनी पॉइंट फ्रॉम लास्ट क्लास, एनी पॉइंट दैट कम्स टू योर माइंड फ्रॉम द लास्ट क्लास प्लीज। यज्ञार्थात कर्मणां यत्र लोकोऽयं कर्मबन्धनः। I think we were discussing about work that leads to freedom. That was the topic we were discussing last time. So before we proceed with this verse, if any of you remember any point from last class, just one point, take a right. You remember any points? Because in every class we should at least carry one point with us. Yes, Mataji? Yeah. Yes. Reap the good results. Yeah. Yes. That means we should perform activities in connection to the law. So we don't perform any independent activities. Yeah. Very good. I think that was the essence. What she has spoken of is like the essence of last verse. That's very nice. Anybody else wants to add to this? Any of you? Deepak, remember anything? Any example or any analogy or story, anything? Okay, I'll ask a question otherwise. I said there are 5 examples Prabhupada gave, isn't it? For karma bandhan, how one is entangled, isn't it? I was giving some examples. How do you know that a person is entangled by the ropes? Maji, one example, only one. Yeah. Low bond or ugly look. Legal implications, yeah. Yeah. Illiterate. Yes. Or somebody having chronic illness. So these are all manifestations of karma bandhan. Karma bandhan, you don't find a person tied with some rope or something. You don't see that. But then you find that a person is suffering. We all, in our lives also, we suffer like that whenever such things happen and all that. So then we concluded the lecture with how to disentangle ourselves from karma bandhan. That was the last part, isn't it? I just want one example, if somebody can give one example from what I spoke last week about how to disentangle ourselves from these ropes of bondage, invisible ropes which make us suffer in this world. What is the method of? She has already made the point, very nice point, that one has to connect everything to Lord. But I want one example, at least one example of what I spoke about a person working for the Lord and a person not working for the Lord. No. I want a comparison, example, comparing example. Somebody working for Krishna and somebody not working for Krishna. We give many examples. Oh, you made a good point, but I want somebody else to tell example. Anybody, if nobody else can recall example, then chance will come to you automatically. That was a very example. I think I gave about 3 or 4 examples I gave. I'll give a clue. Arjuna and Duryodhana. Somebody can say about compassion of Arjuna and Duryodhana?
They were both involved in killing.
Yes.
Arjuna was
Yes. Yeah, Duryodhana was sinful and he wanted to win the war for his own pleasure. But Arjuna was fighting for the Lord's pleasure, Krishna's pleasure, yeah. So in the same way, if somebody works for the nation, then he is not punished by the nation, isn't it? If somebody kills somebody in India-Pakistan war, then he is awarded rather than being punished. Whereas if he kills on his own account, then he will be suffering like that. So in the same way, right from the time we get up in the morning till we go to bed in the night, we have to see, as Prabhupada said that example to the businessman, in the ledger of your life, right from morning to night, what you do are all written on credit and debit side. What is on credit side? Who can say? What is on credit side? What is on debit side? In the ledger of our life. Deepak can say, I think. Yeah. Yes, Deepak? That good has to be defined. Good in inverted quotes. What is that good? Yes? Yes.
Yes.
Then Prabhupada told that businessman in Bombay that now you assess your own life, how you have lived your life. Because when you only say good activities only produce good results, isn't it? You remember I was telling you, if you give school uniform to children, what do you get?
Textile.
Isn't it? Or if you give notebooks to children? You may have paper mill or something like that. So it doesn't lead to anything else, it just leads to good results. Good activities lead to good results. But then it leads to... So good results are also considered bondage, isn't it? Not only bad, even the good results are considered bondage. Many people sometimes wonder, why I can't just be a good person? I am a harmless person, I don't do harm to anybody. I am a very good person. I always try to be good, I speak to everyone nicely, sweetly. And I always treat everyone nicely, I don't kill any animals. I lead a very pure life. Any of you can defend this point? If somebody tells you that I am a good person, I don't harm anybody, and I am always doing good and I am going to get good results in future, why can't I go on with my life like that? Yeah, you have answer for that? Yeah?
The nature of the soul is to see the spiritual world in Vaikuntha. If you do good things, you have to again take a birth and reap the good results.
Yeah.
So, the nature of the soul, we will again in the bondage of the birth and the death cycle.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So if you do good, you will certainly get good. If you are a harmless person, you will certainly be born in a good family. Like all of you are born in a good family. You know, you don't have dearth of any problem with food, clothing, shelter, a nice family. Everything is good. Life appears very attractive. But even such a person living in a good condition still has to suffer old age, death, disease and all that. So two things. One, as Deepak rightly said, we don't want to be born again and again to suffer. Even a wealthy person has to suffer. Even a person, the most beautiful person has to suffer. Once some cinema actress had come to our Chapari temple. Some very famous actress. Some Hindi actress. She wanted to come and give some donation. When everyone looked at her, people were like standing. Hey, come on, just see who is that. I don't know the name. Forgotten. It was, I think it was 97 or something like that. So she had come... And she wanted to take darshan of Maharaj and bow down to him and go. And she came and bowed down and she offered the donation and she went. So Maharaj was telling us, Brahmacharis, he was telling, you should remember that she also is suffering. Maharaj told us, don't think she is completely happy. She may be an actress in a movie, but doesn't mean that she has no suffering. She also will get old. She will get a white hair also, and she will also get disease and death and everything. So generally when somebody is very beautiful, we think they have no suffering. We think like that in this world. So, we don't want to just do good and do bad and be born again and again. But we want to do that act that will completely free us from entanglement and take us back to God. That kind of activity. So that is the essence of last class discussion. So we can say that. Maybe Maharaj may call. Gopakrishna Maharaj. So today we are reading a very important verse from the third chapter. When I read this verse first time, I was sort of shocked because I was not aware of this information. See what he says here. Yajna shishta asena santo muchyante sarvakil vishay munjate te tvagam papa ye pachyante atma karana. He says, The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. So here he uses the word yajna again. Yajna. Yajna means yajna by Vishnu, it is said in the scriptures. Working for someone's pleasure. But here the word yajna is working for the pleasure of the Supreme. In this world, we all are working for someone's pleasure, someone's happiness. Suddenly, children want to please the mother and father. Similarly, wife wants to please the husband, husband wants to please the wife, and they want to please their children also. Or a son may want to please his grandfather, grandmother also, like that. So we all are working in this world to please someone. Nobody can deny this. Or you are not working in a company to please the boss, isn't it? We all work to please the boss. So pleasing someone is not a new concept for us. It is a very well-known concept that we all want to please someone. Like, you know, a man does the job very well in the company, so that when the boss comes back and sees the job well done, then he may give a pat on the back. He may give appreciation. Tomorrow he may give a recommendation for promotion and things like that. So people sometimes sacrifice something or work hard for something with some ulterior motive in mind. I have seen one of my friends, he was telling me in his company, he's supposed to work till like 9 to 6 or something. And then he would return home at 7 o'clock. Like one day his boss told him that now it's a year ending, we want you to work harder. So you have to go till like 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock in the night. So till 10 o'clock he worked. And then he was about to return home. And the boss was also returning. But the boss just gave him 4 or 5 pages. And he gave him some kind of work which he had to do for about another 1 more hour. So till 11 he was supposed to work. And the boss told him, you finish that and then you can go home after that. So he was working very hard to finish it as soon as possible. And then he got a mobile call from boss. And he said, now actually I had planned someone to go to Delhi to, you know, attend that particular seminar. But unfortunately that fellow got sick. And he was above this person. Can you do that job? Is it possible for you? Now it was almost 11, he was leaving from the company. And he asked his boss, what time I have to leave? For that you take an early morning flight. You may have to leave at about 3:30 or something in the morning. And he said, never mind, I'll go sir, surely I'll go. No problem. So now he is leaving the company at 11 and he will reach home by about 12 o'clock or so. And he has to leave at what time? 3:30 next day morning. And he said, yes, so how many hours of sleep do you think he'll get? But once in a while, he may not mind working so hard for his boss. Because he knows that if I please him, then very soon, you know, there are many opportunities. You know, I am learning Japanese language now. And also he is giving me the job of my superior. Krishna. In this way, if I please my boss by working so hard, tomorrow he may send me to Japanese firm. They have a branch in Japan also, he may send me there. So with some motive, everyone in this world works very hard. We can't deny that. So we all are trying to please someone. In the same way, the scriptures say that we all work very hard trying to please different people in this world. And then our life comes to an end. But the Lord says, originally one is supposed to please the Supreme Godhead. The Supreme God who deserves to be pleased. We are supposed to work for His pleasure. Because everything is owned by Him. Everything is controlled by Him. Just like, you can take a different level, just like see this house. This house belongs to Deveshna. Similarly, if you take the city of Pune and then the state of Maharashtra, it is owned by someone, isn't it? Chief Minister of Maharashtra is responsible for everything that happens in the state of Maharashtra. Similarly, if you take India, there is Prime Minister of India. Similarly, if you take the earth and if you take the universe, then gradually you can extend this to different levels. You will see that at every level there is some owner, there is some controller, there is some proprietor. And everyone is working according to his codes of law. Whatever law codes are made, everyone has to obey those laws. That's why Prabhupada uses two words in this purport. One is thief, another one is being sinful. Those two words are highlighted by Prabhupada here. If you see, how can someone who is a thief as well as one who is sinful can be happy? That's the question he asked in the purport. So Prabhupada says that people who are like children or people who are ignorant about the subtle laws of the world, how they are functioning, they will think that everything is happening automatically. Just like a child, for example, he will think that this light is glowing automatically. Because you go and press the switch, as soon as you put the switch on, the light will be on immediately. Child doesn't know anything beyond this. That's all the child knows. If you ask the child, how does the light glow? He will say, just put on the switch. I heard, you know, when, I think it was Russians, I don't know who made the taps for the first time. I don't know which country made the taps. That you open the tap, immediately you get water supply. So another country people, when they had come to this country during invasion, they saw that you open the taps and you get water supply. And you press a button and you get the light on. So they also made similar kind of taps from underground waters, and they found that the tap was not working. Because you need an engine, you need a motor to run the thing. Similarly, simply putting a switch here and a bulb there doesn't make the bulb function. The bulb has to be connected to the electricity board, isn't it? And the electricity board has to give a supply. And where is that getting electricity from? That's getting from the power station. And is power station functioning automatically? There is one resident engineer living there. And he is making that the turbo machinery, turbine or something function, isn't it? Yeah. And then the electricity is generated, and then it is circulated to all the EBs, and then now we are getting here. But a child may think you press the switch and you get the light. He may not know. Similarly, in this world also, all the things that are going around us appear to be functioning automatically. Like monsoon season. People say now it's going to rain now. And after all, it's monsoon season. But can the rains come automatically? How can it happen automatically? So it is childish to conclude that these things are happening automatically. Like the changing of summer and winter. Like the monsoons coming at different times like that. So one can understand that these are all made to function by superior arrangement. And the Lord Himself does not do that. He has many, many competent agents who do that. Just like Prime Minister of India does not do everything himself. He doesn't have to come and come to Pune and control the traffic police. He has got many people to do that, competent agents. Similarly, the demigods or the devatas are actually competent agents who control different departments like the water or the heat and different departments like that. And by their control, everything appears to be almost happening automatically around us. And it's very wonderfully functioning like that. So now, when we see that in India, for example, we have Constitution of India, we have Prime Minister, we have the Parliament, we have MPs, we have MLAs, and then we have ministers, and Chief Minister and Prime Minister, and we have ministers for every department, for water, for air, for everything, no? Everything to be supplied, education department. We have so many departments like that. Now if you ask a child how India is functioning, so the child may not know how the India is functioning. But you know how India is functioning. In the same way, there are different devatas in charge of different departments like water, that is Varuna, Indra, Chandra, Vayu, Agni. These are all different agents who control the mass of the great volumes of water, great volumes of fire, great volumes of air. And then they keep the pressure, volume, temperature so precisely that rainfall can take place. Even scientists wonder how the sun is absorbing the water and then it's turned into cloud. What is a cloud? Cloud is just a body of water. That's all. But how the body of water is not pouring down? Just like in your house you may have a Syntex tank, isn't it? You take water to the height and you store it there, and then whenever you want you can open the tap and you will get water like that. So in the same way, cloud also is like a tank and it is storing water at a particular pressure, volume, temperature. And it is happening. And you see the cloud floating in the sky without, you know, if you prick it, it will pour down. But then it is carried to a certain distance. And then the pressure, volume, temperature all adjusted in such a way that then everything pours down afterwards. You can see the rain pouring down. So who makes these adjustments? That is done by the different devatas. That's why Prabhupada explains that we are paying water tax when we take drinking water in our house, the municipality. So we are also paying electricity tax for getting the light. Similarly, we take things from nature, what are we paying? We don't even know to whom to pay also. Huh? We never even think about it. Huh? But there are many devatas in charge. That's why in the Vedic times when they offer a yajna, Indraya Swaha, when they would offer in the fire, Idam Namama, and these things are not mine. I cannot generate water or fire or control the seasons. I can't do anything. But I offer it into the Agni as Ahuti. In this way, anything you put into that Agni Kund, that Yajna Kund, that actually is transferred to Lord Vishnu ultimately. Because Lord Vishnu is the ultimate Adipati. Vishnu or Krishna. Vishnu is the official acceptor of all the sacrifices. And all the devatas are subordinate, just like the Prime Minister of India. He takes all the tax money ultimately. I mean, he's the owner of whole India. And all the ministers are supposed to pay everything to ultimately the PM of India, like that. In the same way, the devatas, they are like tax collectors. Huh? They collect tax from you and they give it to the Lord ultimately. They don't take it. Just like somebody comes to collect tax from you, they don't take it. They don't own that money. In fact, they give it to the ultimate person. In the same way, the Agni Hotra, Agni Hotra or the Yajna that we do, ultimately goes to the Supreme Lord. One is supposed to offer like that. Now, by offering it, what are we doing is this. By offering the Yajna according to the prescription given in the scriptures, we are obeying Lord. That's the first thing. You are obeying the Lord by following this rule. Lord is saying that in this kind of Yajna you perform, and you are obeying me. And in this age in which we are living now, Kali Yuga, that kind of yajnas are very difficult to perform because one offers tons of ghee in such a yajna. And no one is so rich, you don't find butter anywhere now. Prabhupada explains how in the ancient times people would be throwing butter on one another and playing. Playfully they would throw butter. If you study about Vrindavan, in Vrindavan, when Krishna was born, all the gopis, they take buttermilk in pots and in syringes and they are throwing at one another. Buttermilk, and they are throwing butter also on one another. Butter was used for playing, throwing and playing. Can you imagine anybody playing like that now? Butter is so costly now. So, that when samruddhi or prosperity is there, one can play like that. And the prosperity actually comes from yajna. So, we are not expected to perform such great yajnas in the modern times. But as Prabhupada explains here, for this day and age, we have to only perform Sankirtan Yajna. In the beginning of the class today, we were singing with Mridangam Kartals, Hare Krishna Mahamantra, we were singing. That is actually Sankirtan Yajna. Or doing Japam, Japa and the beads. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chanting like this, Japa. So, meditating on the Lord. What are we doing by chanting Hare Krishna or singing Hare Krishna or by doing this Yajna? Yes, that we are expressing our gratitude to God for having given us all these things. We are actually praying to God. My dear God, everything comes from you. You have given the grains, you have given the fruits, you have given us the water to drink and air to breathe. You have given us the minerals, you have given us the nine jewels, nine types of gems. And you have given everything, practically even the place to live. Place to sit, even Lord is giving everything. So we are expressing our gratitude to Him by offering to devatas. In the beginning, one may not be worshipping Krishna or Vishnu directly because one doesn't know that Lord is Supreme. And one may be worshipping the individual departments. One thinks that, now I am getting water, so I will worship the water department, Varuna. Now I am getting air, so I will worship Vayu, air department. Now I am getting fire, so I will worship the fire department. So in this way, one may be worshipping separate departments. But ultimately, when one grows by offering these yajnas more and more and more, higher and higher, it evolves. At that stage, he understands that all these departments are all controlled like the ropes are ultimately in the hands of Vishnu or Krishna. Actually, Krishna and Vishnu are in one sense, there is no difference. But still, Vishnu is the official acceptor of all the yajna. He is called as the yajna purusha. So the ropes are in his hand ultimately. All the departments are all functioning under his guidance and control. You will see that Krishna, when he appeared in this world, he wanted to show all of us that he is the adhipati of all the devatas also. Everyone is under him. Like, you know, once his guru, Sandipani Muni, after Sandipani Muni taught him many, many things, 64 kalas and everything. So Krishna asked him, my dear guru, what dakshina can I give you? Now, his guru thought, I should not ask for anything small. Because, you know, if you go to Tata or Villa and you ask him, you know, can I give me 100 rupees? And it will be like insulting them. Such a great person. You have to ask for 1 crore or 2 crores. Then it makes some sense. So he thought that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and I have to ask something that will be befitting him. That will be according to his caliber. Then he asked them, I lost my son in Prabhasa Kshetra. That's a place called Prabhasa Kshetra, holy place. So when he went to take a dip there, he died. So if he can, I don't know what happened to my son, I lost him. If I can get him back, I'll be thankful to you. Then Krishna and Balaram set out to Prabhasa Kshetra. And there they went and they found there was a big ocean also. And somebody told them there that this boy was taken away by one demon called Panchajan. He had taken away your son. Then immediately Krishna jumped into the waters, Krishna and Balaram, and they went deep into the waters, under the waters. And they found the demon. They caught him. And they also took off the Panchajanya, that conch shell which was on his head. And they killed the demon. And they came to know that the child was killed and the child actually must have gone to the Yama's abode, Yamaraj's abode. Then immediately they went to Yama's abode. They went to Yamaraj. And then Sandipani Muni's son was present there. And as soon as he went to Yamaloka, it is said, he made the Yamaloka also very auspicious. Krishna going there. So immediately his son was handed over back to Krishna. And Krishna brought him back. Similarly, another time, once Nanda Maharaj, in the early morning hours, today is actually Ekadashi, tomorrow is Dwadashi. So he wanted to, the Dwadashi day, early morning he arose from his bed. Before the Brahma Muhurta, he got into the waters. And it was considered to be inauspicious hour. He got into the waters and because of that he was punished by Varunadev's servants. Varunadev's servants, they picked him and took him to Varuna. And when Krishna got up, he saw that his Nanda Maharaj has been taken away by Varuna. Then Krishna directly travelled to Varuna Loka. And he met Varuna. And he asked, and he found his father was sitting by his side. And as soon as Krishna went, immediately Varuna with folded palms fell at his feet and offered obeisances and glorified the Lord in so many prayers. And he said, my servants have committed a blunder by bringing your father here. And he said, my dear Lord, I am very sorry. It's all my mistake of my servants. In this way, he handed over his father back to him. In this way, there are many pastimes Krishna shows in we read in Krishna book and Bhagavatam to show that Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, all are subordinate to him. You know this pastime of Kandava Prastha? Once when the Agni wanted to consume the forest Kandava Prastha, what did Krishna and Arjuna do? They told him, you don't worry, Indra will not shower rains. That's a very big story. But the essence is this, that there was one Takshaka living in that forest, Kandava Prastha. And whenever the Agnidev would try to consume the forest, Indra would shower rains. So that his friend Takshaka will not be killed. His snake friend will not be killed. So Krishna and Balaram, Krishna and Arjuna told Agni that you can consume this forest and we will see to it that Indra will not shower any rains. And then Krishna and Arjuna, they went round the forest, it appeared as if they were present at every point. They were going in the chariot so fast. Anywhere you saw, you found only Krishna and Arjuna. It was like that. They were going round and round and round. And in this way, the forest was burnt and Indra was showering rains. And Arjuna sent arrows which were blocking he made like a chakra kind of thing above the forest. And nothing, not even a drop of water fell into the forest. So in this way, the Lord shows by these pastimes that all the devatas are actually subordinate to him and they are controlled by him. And they are engaged in the service by him. Now somebody may say, why does the Lord need these devatas to do the work for him? Why can't he only do everything? He can do everything, he is competent. But these devatas are his devotees. And they request Krishna for some service. So Lord says, okay, you do this service. You take this department, you take that department. Like that he allowed some different departments to do different services. Now, a beginner in Vedic life would offer the yajna to these devatas. But when one is very advanced, then they would offer yajna to Krishna directly. That's why we chant Hare Krishna. After many, many lifetimes of practicing this kind of yajnas, one comes to the point of understanding that Vasudeva Sarvamiti Bahunam Janmanamante. After many Janma. One understands that Vasudeva Sarvamiti. And Lord Vasudeva is everything. Lord Krishna is everything. Samahatma Sudarlava, such a great soul is very rare, he says. So in this way, he says, by offering the yajna to the Lord, one becomes free from the debt that one is due to the Lord. Then what happens by not offering yajna? By not offering yajna or not performing yajna, we become a thief. That's why he says thief. In the previous verse, you will see that in the 10, 11, 12 verses, Krishna says that, I'll just read the translations, you will see what he says. In charge of the various necessities of life, the demigods or the devatas, being satisfied by the performance of yajna, will supply all necessities to you. But he who enjoys such gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. Bhunkte sthena eva saha. One who takes the things from the nature, and the nature also has all the supplies from God. One who takes these things but does not offer yajna, he is considered ungrateful and is considered a thief. Just like any son or daughter will feel grateful to the parents. My parents have raised me from childhood, you know. They have brought me to this position. So I have to do something for them, isn't it? Everyone feels that. Similarly, one does not feel gratitude to God for providing all these things, but only enjoys life. Simply eat, drink and be merry, as we say. Then such a person is called as sthena. The word sthena means a thief. Then he is called as a thief. A thief can never be peaceful, is it not? Say somebody has stolen somebody's property and is wandering the street. While going in the street, everywhere he will be turning around and seeing whether police is chasing me. He is always fearful. Like that, a person who takes things from God but does not offer to him, he is always leading life in fear. These are all very deep concepts. What is being explained here? How the mechanism works? Why does a person become fearful? How does a person become fearful? Because one who does not sanctify the things that he has taken from God by offering it back to God, because it is unsanctified things. When one enjoys those things, not only eating, even every item that we use, when one is enjoying them, how does he get fear? Because enjoying the things of this world makes one more and more greedy. And as such a greedy person may accumulate more, he may get lot of facility and comfort, but he cannot be happy. You see, the commodities that we gain without performance of yajna will only go in vain. They will never satisfy us. Like for example, people think now, here Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, only when you do yajna, there will be rains, he says. And then there will be all resources that you need in life, and you can lead a happy life. And if you don't do yajna, you cannot be happy, he says. Now you see a country like America. Often people compare India and America. They say, you see America, Americans are enjoying life, and Indians, we are so God conscious, but we are suffering. But Americans are so happy. But a recent statistic shows that when you compare India and America, why only India and America, you can compare all the states. So they asked questions to different people. Are you satisfied with your marriage partner? Are you satisfied with your job? Are you satisfied with your house? Are you satisfied with the commodities that you have? These are the kind of questions they asked to people from all parts of the world. And they did a ranking. And rank number one went to Bangladesh. Bangladesh is considered to be one of the most backward places in India, isn't it? They got rank one. And the third rank went to India. India got third rank. America got the 48th rank out of 50 countries where they conducted a survey. Now, if you ask Americans, they will say that we have many, many things. They have many luxuries, but they are not happy. It's like it is said, you may have home, but you don't feel the shelter at home. Patil, you are never at home. You may have a home. You may have a beautiful home, but you don't have the shelter at home. Similarly, you may have food, but that food never satisfies your hunger. It's like that. So they have everything. But Prabhupada explains in many of the Bhagavatam purports that the word samriddhi or prosperity has to be very carefully understood. What is prosperity? If you see, in the Vedic times, the prosperity, and the modern times, prosperity, there is a gulf of difference between earth and sky. It's like that. So much difference you will see. The Vedic times, as I said, people were throwing butter at one another. They were drinking nice cow milk. At the doorstep, they can get cow milk. They had abundant rains. If you all see the way even your grandfather or great-grandfather has lived, they had tremendous prosperity. I have witnessed it with my own eyes. In my own life, I can say. I have seen when we were small boys, like 5 or 6 years old, we have seen they had like 50 bulls. They had 50 cows. We used to go to the farm. And there was abundant milk, abundant grains, sacks of grains used to come. And my grandfather, I have seen every day he would do puja till almost 12 o'clock in the morning, early morning he would start, till 12 o'clock he would do many pujas and laksharchanas and all he would do. He'd spend his time. And 12 o'clock he would go to the field to see what's happening there. He would take his stick and go and see, maybe for about 1 hour or 2 hours, that's all. very leisurely life. And they would spend a little bit of time. But then you find sacks of grains coming home. And that too in almost 3 to 4 months in a year, they will have to do that also. Other times they would be just enough grains at home, enough milk. And we had gold, silver, all kinds of ornaments, people wearing it. Nowadays, even if you have it, you can't wear it. Many of the mothers, they are wearing plastic. Plastic earrings, plastic nose ring, plastic thing on the head like that. And we used to, every one of us, we had a silver plate at home to eat. Nowadays, the silver plate is rarely seen. And people, nowadays you go to any party, people are given in paper plates, isn't it? Yeah, they're given paper plates. And paper plate, once somebody gave me a hot upma in a paper plate. And I took the upma, paper also came along with that. So I told that person, you made me a donkey. So we eat in paper plates. That is the way we live. And we wear plastic ornaments and we eat in paper plates. That is the modern prosperity, if you see like that. Vedic times prosperity was uncomparable. You cannot compare it with anything. They really had, if you study the Vedas, you understand why only Vedas. Even some 2-3 decades ago, there was so much prosperity. So when we do yajna for the Lord, when Lord is the center, the things that you possess will give you happiness. You will be very satisfied, deeply satisfied in the heart. But if you try to accumulate things without reference to God, with the exclusion of God, you keep Him away, then there will be many, many things around you, but you cannot enjoy. You will not be able to be happy. Because we are termed here as a thief. Bhunkte sthena eva saha. A thief may have abundant luxuries and facilities, but he cannot be happy. Isn't it? A thief means he is fearful, right? Like a thief is sleeping. All of a sudden he is hearing that. He hears a sound. What do you think will happen? What do you think he will do? Immediately he'll jump up from his bed. Maybe police has come. And then he sees through the lens, oh, only my son has come. Okay. He'll open the door. But he's always fearful. He cannot sleep peacefully. He cannot eat peacefully. He cannot do anything peacefully. A thief cannot do that. Similarly, people who live a life exclusion of God consciousness, they always live in fear and threat. They cannot be peaceful. They cannot experience that satisfaction in their heart. That is why you see in countries like America, although externally there is prosperity, people are eating sleeping pills to sleep in the night. And people have so many techniques to burglar alarm. And they have watchmen and they have so many kinds of things to prevent thievery. And still so many people are killed and murdered. You can see that. Why there is so much fear? Only a thief has to be fearful. Like in our house, you have seen the house would be always open. Even in the night, they would never close the house. They had no fear at all. But a society which is godless has to have fear. But in the Vedic times, because there was God consciousness, you will see that people could wear golden ornaments and they could walk in the street. There was no fear at all. Like that. The more we go away from God, naturally there will be fear. Because everyone lives the life like a thief. So this is the result of not performing yajna. And what is the result of performing yajna? The result is one will get abundant prosperity. And that prosperity will be real prosperity and it will lead to happiness. Also, there is one very profound result of yajna. Like Prabhupada explains, we will read that from the previous verse. purport. Here Prabhupada says, performance of, when these yajnas are perfectly performed, naturally the demigods in charge of different departments of supply are pleased. And there is no scarcity in the supply of natural products. In an Yudhishthira's time, there is a verse in Bhagavatam which says, Kamam Vavarsha Parjanyaha Sarva Kama Dugamahi Shishichusma Prajan Gavaha Payaso Udaswadir Muda. He says, Kamam Vavarsha Parjanyaha, the rains will come in time. Abundant rains will shower. In the monsoon time, you will see when the farmers, after finishing everything in the night, when they go to sleep, as soon as they lie in their bed, the rains will start. And in the early morning, when they wake up, they will find all their fields will be flooded with water. Everywhere. Kamam Vavarsha Parjanyaha. Parjanya will be there. But in the modern times, you see, the rains don't follow any proper code. Isn't it? Now in the monsoon season, it doesn't rain. But in some other autumn season, you find some rain coming. And that too at a time when you don't expect the rain. Like, you know, when people are going to go to the office, it begins raining. Or when they return from the office, it rains. At any time, and it rains unevenly. Like sometimes people find that the rains are showering in a place where it's not required. And other places are like deserted. They have no waters like that. You see, if one thinks carefully, you can understand. When it rains, then that water goes into the waterbed. And that is the water we use later for drinking. Isn't it? And see, the work rain does, it actually spreads uniformly all over the globe. And everywhere there is water supply, and then we can use water. Now if rains don't come, we don't have water to bathe, water to drink, water to cook. So, we may arrange a tractor, we may have a big field, we may have manure, everything kept ready. But when there are no rains, what can be done? When there are no rains, then there is no crops. You know that? Some time ago, I think a couple of years ago in India, many farmers committed suicide because of no water. Like that. Then there are varieties of problems. Because when we don't do yajna, certainly we will live a godless life. And there will be no rains. And even if there are rains, like somebody may say in America, we have enough water, we are producing so much grains. Sometimes there are people claiming that we are living a godless life and still we are getting rains and still we are producing. And at one time they are producing. Now there is a great crisis in the whole globe of overpopulation. So they are saying there is overpopulation because of which you are not able to supply enough food to the people. So scientists are now struggling to find out how to have a seed that will produce very quickly. This is the modern man's approach. Like, you know, I am putting sand, I am putting water, why the grains are not coming quickly? What the earth would take 4 years, they want the earth to do it in 1 year. Quick. Just like they do with the cows also. Like you see, the cows would live for about 15 years or so. And they would be producing almost 10 pounds of milk every day. The cows. But what the scientists want? We want the cows to produce 40 pounds to 50 pounds of milk every day. And the cows die in 3 years. Instead of living in 15 years, they die in 3 years. And that too, how they take out the milk? They suck the milk by machines. Sometimes the blood also comes along with the milk. And it goes into the milk also, like that. So this is the mood of the modern scientists to exploit the nature. Pull out things from nature. Like cow gives 10 pounds milk, I want 50 pounds milk. And what they do, they overfeed the cow. And they give so many medicines. Different kinds of antibiotics and medicines they give. And the cow eats that and she gives more milk. But then later on they found out that even the milk also causes problem. By drinking that milk, we get varieties of diseases by that. So in this way, modern man is in a mood of exploiting earth also. They want to exploit the earth and pull out more grains within a short time. Instead of 4 years, I want to get the same grains in 1 year. So put some manure, put manure. And then the earth surface gets burnt. And the earth becomes barren. And she won't yield anymore at some time. Because of exploiting too much like that. Now, you may ask, why? What is the problem? Why are they trying to put the crops and do like this? Why there is a dearth of grains? One reason we could say, if there is a dearth of grains, because they are not doing yajna, anna bhavanti bhutani, parjanya anna sambhava. If you really have dearth of grains, that's because you are not doing yajna. But still Prabhupada explains, there is no need of having a dearth of grain in this globe. Why? And when Prabhupada went to Geneva, I think, when he went to Geneva, one of the countries, He found, wherever he traveled, he found tobacco fields. Everywhere there were tobacco fields. And Prabhupada was telling his disciples, just see, do you need tobacco? Will you die without a cigarette? You tell me, will you die without a cigarette or without grains? Which will make you die? Without grains, man will die. Without cigarette, will anybody die? But he's saying, with cigarette, a man will die. Isn't it? So he said, man wants to put so much of tobacco fields, which are actually meant for paddy field. But because man has become godless, he is putting tobacco fields. And because when man goes away from God, he will want to produce things which are not at all necessary, which are not at all absolutely necessary. That is coming because of going away from God. And then there is no enough place for paddy fields. Then what do you do? Then now we have to put manure. Because we have less land, we have to put manure and grow faster. Grow more quantity in a less time. So they are trying to increase the productivity like that. Prabhupada said it is foolish. If one lives a God conscious life, then in fact today there are proofs. We have a book called as Divine Nature. If any of you is interested, you can read that book, Divine Nature. There is a mention of how without eating meat, the whole world can be supplied 10 times the grains what every single man needs. We have so much place to grow the crops. That article shows that. There is no dearth of any grains. But by not performing yajna, all disorders will come. There will be too much cold, there will be too much heat, there will be climatic disorders, there will be chaos and disorders at the cosmic level. We will find that when we don't perform yajna. The more we tend to be godless, going away from God, to that degree we will find the nature punishing us in varieties of ways. And we can see that in the modern times. Why America should be ranking 48th in the happiness list? Because they have everything, but they can't be happy because they have not achieved the things by yajna. On the other hand, somebody has achieved even little by performance of yajna, they can be very happy. Specifically in this verse, what is said is that any food that you eat, you should first offer it to God by expressing your gratitude. Then it becomes product of yajna. Like here Prabhupada explains, performance of yajnas has many side benefits, ultimately leading to liberation from material bondage. First of all, he says, by performance of yajnas, all activities become purified. Ahara shuddhav, sattva shuddhi, sattva shuddhav, dhruvasmati, smriti lambhe, sarva gantinam, vipramokshaha. By performance of yajnas, one's eatables become sanctified. And by eating sanctified foodstuffs, one's very existence becomes purified. By the purification of existence, finer tissues in the memory become sanctified. And when memory is sanctified, one can think of the Lord and the path of liberation. And all this combined together lead to Krishna consciousness. See, logically, step by step, Prabhupada is explaining here. What happens? Like once Prabhupada is telling some people, just look at our temple, he was telling. Any corner you go, it is sanctified. He said, like you come to the temple hall, you find the Nam Sankirtan going on. And you find the Lord very beautifully dressed there. You go behind, you find deity kitchen. And there are Matajis who are cooking for the bhoga for the deities. And they are very clean. They put a white cloth here, if you see. They put a cloth on, so that no hair will fall. They will be extremely clean. And while cooking also, you will see that by mistake, if they touch the nose or the eyes, immediately they will wash their hand. Even all of us, when we cut sabji, before cutting sabji, we wash our hands thoroughly and we bow down and we pray to the Lord that I am cutting this sabji for your pleasure. And then we thank the Lord for giving that service. So the consciousness goes into those items. So one puts completely one's attention while cutting sabji, while cooking and everything. Or you go to the garden, you will find flowers. Those flowers are also meant for the Lord's pleasure. We pluck those flowers and we offer it to the ladies. So any corner you go, you'll find it is already sanctified and purified. How it is? That is because of this yajna. He says that, as he says here, that ahara shuddhav sattva shuddhi. If you cook foods that Krishna recommends in Bhagavad Gita, like the vegetarian foods, like grains, cereals, fruits, milk, and tulasi and all these things, when one uses these things in offering food to the Lord. It's called as bhoga. When one offers, what happens? You know, when you offer something to somebody, like you give it in a tiffin box, you cook some nice item, like carrot halwa, something like that, and to give it to another person, somebody on his birthday, I want to give this gift to you. So they open it and say, oh, this is the thing that I like the most. How did my friend know this? They are very, very happy with you. And then they will eat it. The next day morning, they give the box back to you. Do they give it to you empty? Have you ever seen anybody giving you empty back? Okay, I have eaten the halwa, take it. They don't give it back empty. They will put some chocolates or some fruits or something in that, and they'll give it to you back. Similarly, when a devotee offers bhoga to the Lord, he is putting his heart in that. My dear God, everything comes from you, and all the facilities that I have come from you. This eatable, this cannot be made in a laboratory. You cannot even make one grain in a laboratory. It's not possible. Prabhupada says, you see, in the African jungles, the average African elephant eats about 10 tons of food or so. He says, so who is going to supply that elephant so much of grass? But he gets it. Whether it is a tiny ant or a huge elephant or a whale, everyone gets their food supplied by God like that. We are not arranging for their food. It's arranged by God. Similarly, our food also is arranged by Him. So when one is thankful to God, understanding that everything comes from Him and offers obeisances to Him and bows down to Him and offers the food to Him, then what happens? One puts one's mind and heart with love, one offers. Then the food is sanctified. God accepts it. And then when you get God doesn't give it to you back as it is, as it was. Like you put your love and affection and respect to Lord and you give Him your gratitude to Him, and then God gives it to you in return by putting His mercy, kripa, in that. So that is why the prasad, which we say, the word prasad itself means mercy. That's the meaning of the word prasad. So we can convert a bhoga. Bhoga means that which is meant for enjoyment. And then when it comes back from the Lord, it is called as prasad. It's called as mercy. So now, the ordinary, if you see prasad and if you see non-prasad, both of them will look alike. You see a puri that is offered to Krishna and a puri that is not offered, they may look alike. Externally they look alike. But when you eat them, the one which is offered to God will purify our heart. Ahara shuddhav sattva shuddhi. Sattva shuddhav druvasmati. He says it purifies our heart when we eat such foods that is offered to Krishna. And then in our brain there are fine tissues which are actually meant to be used for understanding spiritual knowledge. By eating this kind of foods and by drinking milk, those brain tissues are nurtured and nourished. So then they can actually give us the spiritual acumen to understand the spiritual subject matter, which otherwise a common man doesn't have. A common man's brain is like dull, very, very dull. Very, very dull. Anybody who eats all kinds of foods, like one who eats meat, one who drinks wine, one who eats all the tamasic foods, their brain is very, very dull. You tell them about God, you tell them about soul, you tell them about rebirth and about going back to God, they will say, what is this? They just can't understand anything. Even Bernard Shaw said this. He said, you become what you eat. He said, you become what you eat. Like if somebody is eating meat, meat is actually a product of violence and fear. So when somebody is about to cut the animal comes to know that I am going to die now. So immediately the adrenaline is secreting. You see, there are two liquids in our body, endorphins and the adrenaline. If endorphin secretes, like if somebody glorifies you, or somebody pats you on your back, or somebody showers love on you, how do you feel? You feel very nice. And when you feel good about yourself, immediately the endorphins secrete and they permeate your body. And that feeling of goodness makes you very hale and healthy. And you feel a very, very positive attitude. Similarly, when you are fearful, then we secrete adrenaline. So the animal secrete adrenaline when you are cutting the animal. And immediately it permeates the whole body. So anybody who eats that stuff, they also become very fearful. And very, very insecure. They always fear, hey, that person in my office, he will be the cause of my demotion. That person will pull my leg. This person will kill me. That person will destroy me. They are always in a fearful mood like that. Also it's a product of violence. So because of that they also become violent. Like, you know, sometimes you chase a pig, you know. I have a practical experience. Once I wanted to chase a pig out of our garden, you know. I was chasing. He was running. He was very fearful. At one point of time, he started turning around and started showing the teeth, you know. And started, you know, about to attack me. And then I ran away, you know. So you'll see that the violence and fear, they go hand in hand. You will see that. So when people eat such a meat, they also become violent on one hand, and they also become fearful. In America, they found out, a survey, majority of the murderers, they become bold enough to murder violently because they are eating meat like that. And those who are vegetarian, they hesitate to commit activities like murder. It has been found out. And scientifically, we can show also why we are not supposed to eat meat. We were discussing in one of the classes before. So, in this way, when one has to offer yajna, perform yajna for Krishna by offering the food to him, then you can't offer anything you want. You have to offer only what Krishna likes to eat. Krishna doesn't like meat or eggs. Somebody was asking, what about the ahimsak eggs? You all know about ahimsak eggs? Ahimsak egg is the egg which doesn't produce a chicken. But that is also considered to be very, very dirty because it's a menstrual fluid which is contained in the egg. Some people eat the kidney of some animals. It's very horrible. Because those people don't even think, what am I eating? They don't even think. Because they've been eating time and time again. Like in, you know, this McDonald's. In Pune also they've opened McDonald's now in Deccan. If you see. Everywhere they're opening. And the McDonald's packages the meat in such a way, like this hamburger or hot dog or things like that. You know. Nobody will even think twice what it is. Like if you see, just with chili powder and salt, if you mix them together and mix meat in that, you know, then it will appear very attractive to you. Anything that has chili powder and salt, again, people think like that. But if you see, all unclean things go into that. Very, very nasty things go into that. So those things are unofferable to the Lord. We can't offer Him. Similarly, tamasic items also, like items containing onion and garlic. Many people say, you know, why onion is so good for health? People think like that. But onion is good for the body, but not good for your mind. It will make your mind very dull. You all have experienced, someday mornings you wake up, you feel very dull that day, dull and dizzy. Other times you feel very fresh. So if somebody is regularly taking onion, garlic and all, you will see that it makes your brain dull. Very, very dull. And you feel very dizzy and you become slow and you have a habit of procrastinating things. And because of such a dull nature, one is unable to appreciate the spiritual subject, which is very fine. Spiritual subject is very, very fine. One needs sharp intelligence to understand the spiritual subject. That's the reason we don't take... like in animals, you will see buffalo is the animal in mode of ignorance. Whereas cow is an animal in the mode of goodness. You can see such a vast difference between the two. Similarly, by eating tamasic foods, we also become tamasic. By eating rajasic food, rajasic means like chili, hot chili, you know. Some people like hot chili. Or sometimes they make these pickles, which are so hot. You put the pickle in the mouth and tears come from your eyes. And one is coughing and sneezing. And tears come. That is actually rajasic food. And sattvic food. What is sattvic food? Sattvic food means like sweet, like milk, grains, cereals. By eating them, your sattvic nature increases more and more. You attain the mode of goodness. You always want to do good to others. You always speak sweetly, you think sweetly, you act sweetly. And also, these foods don't agitate our mind. They don't agitate our mind. Because when mind is agitated, we do wrong things. But by eating sattvic ahar, we don't indulge in wrong things because mind is very calm. Calm, cool and collected by eating sattvic ahar. So in this way he says, by offering the sattvic ahar to Krishna, then that becomes prasad. By eating prasad, one's whole existence becomes purified. What it means is this, that the existence becoming purified means, after eating prasad you will see that a person voluntarily gives up meat. He voluntarily gives up all non-vegetarian items. He also gives up all bad habits. All kinds of bad habits, meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex. These four things which we discussed earlier. Meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex. One gives up all these things and one leads a very, very pure life. Then one can experience the real happiness. by performance of this kind of yajna. Then one becomes really happy. See, happiness, many people claim to be happy. Like when Prabhupada went to the West, also people who, they were claiming to be happy, but they were taking drugs, they were taking liquor, and Prabhupada could see that they are suffering like anything. Like crying and weeping and suffering. Because it's like a mixed happiness and suffering. It gives you a kick, some kind of happiness, then there is suffering, then there is happiness, mixed like that. But by living a pure life, as it is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, one can achieve real happiness. The real samriddhi will come. Real samriddhi means real prosperity. Real prosperity will satisfy the heart, not just a superficial happiness. See, in the modern times, people get happiness by impressing others. They want to impress others. Just see what kind of car I have. Just see what kind of bungalow in which I am living in. Just look at my dress, what kind of dress I am wearing. Just look at my look, what kind of ornaments I am wearing. And look at my bank balance, how much money I have stored in the bank. Just see. So they want to impress other people by these superficialities. By which they think, now I impressed others, so I am happy. But these superficialities don't touch the heart. They may superficially give us some kind of satisfaction, but they cannot give us happiness in the heart. The real happiness comes when there is genuine exchange of love between two people. When you have true friends, if somebody loves you truly and they can put trust in you and you can put trust in them and they love you genuinely and you love them genuinely. And when you know somebody loves you genuinely, that gives you the greater satisfaction. That is the Vedic life. In Vedic life you will find, because Krishna is the center, keeping Krishna in the center, everyone loves Krishna. Naturally everyone loves one another also. And that love is based on Krishna consciousness. That comes from chanting Hare Krishna every day, by taking prasad, living a very clean life. And everyone leads such a very joyous life. That kind of life alone can satisfy the soul. So the Vedic program is for everything. It is for satisfying the body, mind and the soul. The body is healthy, the mind is undisturbed and the soul is happy. In this way one can lead a very, very happy life. It's externally very hygienic, internally very nourishing and satisfying. In this way, in Yudhishthira Maharaja's time, it is said, kamam bavarsha parjanyaha sarvakama dugamahi. It is said there were cows running here and there, and they were actually showering milk, and the ground was becoming moistened by the milk of the cows. And everywhere there were lushy green forests, there were lushy green paddy fields producing grains. Sarvakama dugamahi, all the desires of the human beings were fulfilled. There was no death of anything, and everyone was happy. And the cows are so happy. In fact, according to the Vedic life, one of the ways you can estimate a society's happiness is based on whether the cows are happy, according to the Vedic outlook. If the cows are happy, it is said the whole society is happy. You go to America and see, instead of accepting the milk given by the cows, they are slitting the throat of the cow by organized slaughterhouses. And same is happening in India also. In India also, now there is a debate going on. At one time, some years ago, there was a debate in the parliament whether to cut the cows with old knives or with sharp ones. So that was the argument they were making. Of course, the most recent thing was whether the cows can be killed or not killed, and it's going on. But it is so unfortunate, such a holy land like India, cow killing has become a debatable topic. So unfortunate. So in this way, you can see the cows, instead of leading happier lives, grazing in the fields and giving milk, they are taken to organized slaughterhouses. Then how can the society be happy? That's what Prabhupada is saying. How can a society where everyone is a thief and everyone is sinful, how can they be happy? So thief means the one who steals away everything from God and enjoys himself. He is a thief. And one who is sinful means one who is breaking the laws of the society by killing the cows, by encroaching upon other people's property. So such a person becomes actually sinful. And one will be sinful if one is godless. Nobody can say, I don't need God but I will lead a pure life. It's impossible. Without Krishna in the center, no one can lead a pure life. So in this way, in this verse, the importance of yajna is mentioned, and we are living in Kali Yuga, this age, It is said in Kali Yuga, as Kali Yuga progresses, there will be only mangoes with seeds inside. There will be hardly any flesh in the mango. And there will be great dearth of grains, and there will be great dearth of everything. Butter, ghee, milk, and all these items of prosperity. So, and we are also not wealthy, everyone is not wealthy to perform such great yajnas. And we don't have high class brahmanas to perform such yajnas. So it is said in the scriptures that in this age, the yajna is Harinama Sankirtan. Very simple. And you can do it anywhere. Even if you are alone, you can sit in one place, take the mala and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Even if you don't have Mridangam Karta, you can just sing and clap hands, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. Anywhere in your house, husband, wife, children, in your own situation you can live. In that situation, you can offer bhoga to Lord and accept the food. That becomes yajna. And also chant God's names, sing bhajans, and read a page from Bhagavad Gita every day, one or two pages. Then your life becomes completely pure. Very simple. Very simple procedure. Is given by the Lord Himself in the scriptures. So it's not very difficult. And what is the difficulty? If one tries for even like 6 months, you offer the food in your house. And you see how your consciousness changes. And you chant Hare Krishna even for a few months, and you just see how your consciousness totally changes. You can see that our outlook towards life completely changes. We lead a very happy life. Life of internal satisfaction. That is the result of yajna. Hare Krishna. Any one question? Anybody? That is the mode of passion. That is in Rajoguna. That is in Rajoguna. So in Tamoguna is out of fear. But Rajoguna is actually, a Rajoguna person may want to jump from one mountain to another mountain and show people that you see my courage. That is the mode of passion. And of course, as you said, there are people coming up with ideas. Certainly, you will find in the outside world when you go, there will be people doing all types of sinful activities. But it may appear that they are, you know, increasing their money, they're increasing their property, they appear to be having all kinds of facilities, they're enjoying life, and they don't appear to be even a bit fearful of God. They appear like that. That's why I said the parameter is internal satisfaction of heart. There are many people who are getting lots of money, but they don't have time to enjoy that money also. They don't have enough time to enjoy that. At the same time, there are people endowed with a special type of intelligence from the previous lives. Like somebody who has done something good in the past, now they are endowed with a beautiful body. Or somebody is endowed with a sharper intelligence. Or somebody is born in a rich family. These are all actually Purva Janmarjita Punyam Agre Davati Dhavati. It comes from the Purva Janmarjita Punyam. Whatever they have done in the past. But how long will it last? It is there now, but how long will it last? I have seen politicians who, after acquiring the post, they were looting like anything. They were filling up all their pockets. And you will find one fine morning is murdered by somebody. Killed, where will all the money go? You know, it happens with many people like that, you will find that. So we shouldn't be surprised. These people will be taken to a great height and they will fall from there. It is said God gives a very long rope so that He can easily pull you back. Like if you give a short rope, you can't pull a person. You give a long rope and then pull back. And it happens with many people like that. But I have done a close analysis, study in people's lives. Although people have a lot, they are not happy. You can see that happiness is a very rare commodity, which has to be achieved only in company of God. Otherwise, you tell me why Americans are coming to India now. You go to any holy spot in India, wherever holy places you go, you find American boys, girls with shorts and everything, and they come, they're roaming around, you know. They are actually hankering for happiness. They are trying to find out by going to the holy places, meeting the yogis, meeting some sadhus, trying to find out, what are these people doing? How are they happy? How can we become happy? Otherwise, if they are happy, why should they come to India? Practically from all over the world you find people coming here.
Yeah. This was done in Chennai also.
Similar to this, one more thing. There is one invention done in seeds where it is done in France and Europe, but it's banned in India. But now they have started, the government has given the permission to make some BT cotton seed, which gives a yield of about 250%.
250%, yeah. Yeah.
So, and the crop is yielding about 250 times.
Yes.
The government has also added to that.
Yeah.
So, how come that is known up all?
Yeah. You see, as far as the second part is concerned, I'll finish the first part about the rains which you asked. They put silver cyanide in the clouds and they want to pour the rains. So, you will find that in the areas where it doesn't rain, there are no clouds only there, first of all. All the clouds go through that area, but they don't rain. And nobody knows why. So, now the idea is, they want to see that when the clouds are available, you put silver cyanide and make it rain, you force to rain. Even in the Hiranyakashipu's period also, Hiranyakashipu tried to adopt various means to make the nature work against God. Like for example, in the mango season only you will get mangoes, right? But Hiranyakashipu wanted mango season in some other season. When it would not rain, he wanted rains to come. So this is Hiranyakashipu mentality. That means you try to manipulate nature to achieve your own ends. And Madras, Chennai, they have tried many times before putting silver cyanide. Never rained in Chennai because of this kind of method. Here also they may try, but let us see what happens. You can wait and see what happens. Generally speaking, no matter how much a man works against nature, he has to endeavor a lot in order to make nature act according to his desires. As far as the seeds are concerned, you may see sometimes the man, like the corn for example, in those days the corn would be very hard, you know, and he bite like this, bite the corn, it would be very very hard to bite it, to remove the corn, you know. So, and also it won't be so sweet also, it will be less sweet. Nowadays they have a corn coming from America now, we were eating yesterday only, you know, ashram. So the corn is a golden color, very attractive also, and when you boil it, when you eat it, it just comes out very easily, very smooth, and it looks very attractive. But now doctors have found out that those who eat this kind of corn, there is no opportunity for growing the strength of teeth. So children, very soon they become old people, their teeth, even there are many children losing their teeth. They have to use teeth said. Similarly, the seeds which you are saying, they may be producing 250% yield. But what is the strength of modern man? You ask average modern man, children are wearing glasses. You find a 5-year-old boy wearing a thick glass now. Have you ever seen your grandfather, grandmother wearing glasses? In the very old people. I have seen my grandfather, his hand will be like iron, you know. So such as one part if he gives, it will pain so much. You can see that they have so much stamina. They have lifted, they have drawn water from this thing. They lift big buckets. They do, even old people I am saying, I am not talking of young people. A person who is 70, 80 years old, he lifts such heavy weight, you know, which even a youngster of your age cannot lift now, in this age. We have very weak body. And if you lift something and immediately bone breaks, so maybe some calcium weakness, I have to take calcium tablet, you know. Then go to doctor and then you have to be in the hospital for something, isn't it? Why our bodies are so weak? Why our bones are so weak? Why our eyes are so weak? Because when you try to take nature and manipulate it, you may get abundant results superficially. But then the result also will be like that, accordingly. Why people suffer so many diseases now? People say, you know, you have calcium deficiency, you have this deficiency, that deficiency. You take B-complex tablet, you take this tablet, that tablet. Why? Why so many deficiencies? In the Vedic times when people would eat, they had a very nice balanced diet, very nice nutrition. All, there were, you know, all kinds of grains, cereals they would take, and they had a very healthy body, iron-like bodies. Even old people. So we are not talking of some 5,000 years ago. Even some 3 decades ago, 4 decades ago, when all these artificial things had not come, people led very happy lives. I have seen such people with my eyes. You can even see some of the old people now. But then gradually, when man goes for artificial things, so yield may be more. Like you see, they produce this tomato, you know, reddish color, pigment, reddish pigment, big. You cut it, it is hollow inside. Nothing inside. They do a lot of artificial things, like for the grapes. For increasing the yield of grapes, they made 300-400% yield from grapes plant. But then when you tasted the grapes, it was just like water. There was no taste. Completely like water only, because you are trying to speed up. And the nature gives you grapes, there is no taste at all. Now what they do phosphate bathing. Phosphate bath, where they give a bath of saccharin. So the saccharin comes on the, you know, by that bath, it comes on the covering of the grapes, you know, outside. So when you see the grapes are white, you all have seen the grapes white. You know why it is white? Because the saccharin coating. So when you put in your mouth, what taste you get? Sugar taste, saccharin taste. And then you get the taste of water afterwards. Because there is only water inside. But you see, traditionally grown, grapes have real taste. They have nectarian taste. Very nice. This is a problem I used to say in my early days, that, you know, fruits are a gift of God, untouched by man. Because it is directly given by God, we can accept. But now, unfortunately, that is also touched by man. There also man has put his nose and is manipulating it like anything. There are many vegetables also, they grow very big in size, like pumpkin and everything. Inside, you don't find it. Our Lakshmana Prabhu was telling that they got this long, what do you call that? Bopla, you call it? Yeah. When you cut that, what is that one sharp one is there? No? You remove the sharpness, no? What do you call that vegetable? I don't know the name. Don't? Turai is it? Yeah. When you remove the sharp one and you cut the inside part, it was like sponge, you know. It was simply like sponge. Practically there was no flesh in that. But a healthy one, vegetable which has grown very nicely, properly. He said this is all hybrid, he was selling. All the hybrid ones, they have their weakness if you see like that. You know. But if you naturally grown one will not be like that, you will see. And you will become like fiber, you will fly in the sky.
In Bombay, NDTV, they are growing artificially.
Yeah.
Fiber.
Actually, they do many, many things like that. And people are growing weaker and weaker. We can see as the age is growing, the people, and then accordingly, they will have to create tablets now, you know. Yeah. Okay, don't worry, you know. Yes, in order to counteract that. And that will cause many side effects. And so it goes on and on like that. So that is why when God is the center, then everything is natural. So Prabhupada said two opulences, he said. One is natural living, high thinking, and also to have sweet, loving exchanges with others. These two are the real opulence, Prabhupada said. And both are missing in the modern times, unfortunately. Yeah. So I'll stop here. It is 9:10. So we can do 5 minutes kirtan, we can do.